Blog Talk Radio.
Some lovely Fruity Pebbles, a banana, a lovely, deliciously light and fanciful peach yogurt, and a half a cup of coffee.
Do you hear what I'm munching?
I don't even care about your currency today.
I got rice cake.
Oh, you have her. You are evil. Evil to the core.
I am, but it's so good.
Girl, I had nightmares about all that stuff I put out yesterday. You saw all that stuff I had on the floor when you came in our store?
Oh, yes.
I was having nightmares. I woke up, like, speaking French.
they've still not gotten back to me, so I don't know what the hell's going on there. All I know is I'm...
Wait a minute. It got worse. Okay, let me tell you how bad it got. Because, and really, if you can find someplace else, we need to go. I was hanging a vendor on the wall, and I accidentally, you know, put it through the wall onto the next sim. Mm-hmm. So I went to pull it back, and it wouldn't let me. It told me it wasn't mine anymore.
What?
It wasn't my vendor or something like that. This is not yours.
Hell?
You cannot move it. I couldn't move it back onto our sim. There's nothing I could do other than just pick it up. I was like, what?
They're the cheapest people I've ever seen. But I'm going to have to put the feelers out, see if anybody else can offer me something better. Because
I don't know what the fuzz is going on. I don't know. I'm just like, I was shocked. I was like, what is going on? What kind of settings is... Wait a minute, is that old land stuff?
What?
Is that some old land? That's not the newer stuff, right?
Well, no, that's mainland that we're on, so...
Hey, maybe that's what it is.
See, I've never had these issues, and I lived on mainland for, like, a year and a half. I mean, I owned mainland for a year and a half. So.
I remember.
I never had these issues. I don't know... What I think is that they probably got two properties on the same simulator, and one of them, not us, is taking up too many prints.
Or maybe somebody's over on our space, so we can't see who it is.
Well, I've looked, and you should be able to see, so I don't know.
But you see how jacked up they are. That may be why we can't see. It could be that jacked. All right, some people are like, what are y'all talking about? Yeah, we come into Second Life. Come play with us. We got stores.
Yep.
We got clothes. We got all kind of good stuff.
We do.
Did you post this twice? The Microsoft, the Don Matrick interview? I know I posted it in comments. You know what? You posted on our page. I posted on our website.
Okay.
Not on our website, but on my personal page, because I had a lot of comments about it. So those of you who came here for some news and not to listen to us talk about digital clothes.
And that dude. I'm going to pull that up really quick. I'm going to get that going.
Yeah,
are you talking about that right now?
Yes. I'm going to jump right into that because that's another thing I woke up this morning. I was mad when I woke up about that. I was like, son of a...
Yeah, this guy.
He needs to be fired. Dude.
When you're ready, I will start it because I'd like for them to actually hear what he's about to say.
Okay, let me turn the music. Let me go ahead and turn a little 8-bit down here. About to go off anyway, but let me go ahead and do it. All right, so let me give them the lowdown if you're watching our Twitch. Where is my Twitch? I swear. I can never find my Twitch. All right.
My Twitch is up.
No, I mean, I can find it. I have, like, two million windows open. Okay, so if you're watching here, last night, was that last night? It was yesterday, I guess, or it might have been a couple days ago. Don Matrick did an interview with Jeff Kiley, who works over at Game Trailers. Hi, Game Trailers. Been a minute. He basically had some things to say about Microsoft and why they're doing what they're doing with the next gen. They really are not trying to back down from this, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen the interview, and Ginger found this last night, Ginger is becoming like the most amazing news hound. She finds some pretty cool stuff. Basically, he's saying in the interview a couple of things. He's talking about their vision, which I was listening to. I was like, I understand you're looking ahead and you're thinking down the line. And, you know, he mentioned something about how the original Xbox, people were upset that that it wasn't going to support dial-up. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you, Microsoft. I don't recall that at all. I don't recall anybody being upset that you were not going to support dial-up. There was no such thing as Twitter then, no Facebook, no MySpace. So where the hell you got this from? I don't know. Nobody could even talk to you on that front. I think forums, as a matter of fact, were brand new. That's how
exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was no possible way that anybody was telling you all, oh, dial-up, because you know everybody hated dial-up. Anybody that ever played an MMO on dial-up was like, if you're gonna make a machine that's gonna run off DSL and it's gonna be faster than my dial-up, I'm all for it. Do it. But he goes on, he says, well, people are thinking they're like they won't have internet, and that just doesn't happen. Really, Don? Have you seen Oklahoma? Did you see New York? Have you seen Louisiana? Texas?
Exactly.
Sometimes
exactly.
We don't have internet. Midwest
no,
don't ever have
it. Smart-ass remark. Ooh.
Yeah, he was very smug. There was no humility in him whatsoever. And I know when you do interviews, technically, they tell you never to look at the camera, but I think it would have helped him if he had turned to the camera just for a moment and showed some humility. So, you know, we love our fan base, and we are, you know, we were not trying to alienate them. Instead, he went, you know how gamers are. They just, you know, we made this for gamers by gamers. I don't know why you all are so upset. Basically, it was blaming us for being upset for not wanting to give mm-hmm. you money for something we think is stupid. And I understand that you have a far-reaching vision. Ginger, that video is not running, woman.
No. I was waiting because I was actually going to play
play some of it. Okay. Well, let me let him talk, and then we'll go back and kind of briefly discuss it there real quick. Go ahead, Ginger.
Yep.
Wait a minute. I need to turn up my Twitch so I can hear it, too.
Where is it? Hold on.
I can still hear everything. You're fine.
Yeah. I think I need to be further in. Hold on. Ginger's kind of being a goof this morning. Let me see. Oh, why can't I? Hold on. I think there was a reason why this started so late in the video. All right. So that's what I wanted to show y'all right there, what he said right there. I'm going to back it up again. And let y'all hear this. Internet, hope you got a 360 because otherwise you can't play our new stuff. Yeah. Oh, he actually mentioned the whole sub.
Yeah. You know, that means they grabbed some stuff from around the web.
All right. So that's the main deal right there. That's what I was upset about last night. And I knew there was a reason why that video was trying to start in the middle.
Yeah. He literally, again, slapped our troops in the face.
Oh, you've got Twitch going.
I know. I turned it off. Okay. Yeah, so he literally slapped the gamers in the face. Again, our troops in the face. If you got 360, then you're fine. So,
I can't empathize with people that are on a nuclear sub.
You can't empathize with anybody, apparently, Dawn. And here's the idiotic thing about that. Guess what you just told people? Don't buy our new console.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your 360. And basically said, we don't need you. That's what I heard. We don't need you. Keep your 360 then. Fine.
That is such utter crap.
You know what, Dawn? I will. Since you are not appreciative, you have to. You cannot. His whole body language, everything was just wrong. There was nothing humble saying, you know, we actually want to keep you guys as customers. And I'm sorry, some of you out there that are like, I'm still going to buy it. You have to start. You got to start spanking people with the dollars. Don't let them talk like this. If he was playing a game with you online and he was kicking your ass, you wouldn't let him get away with it. Why are you giving him money and letting him talk to us that way? No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Microsoft. Listen, my people that work at Microsoft, y'all know I love y'all. Y'all need to call Sony. Go ahead and put your resume in over there. Serious business. They'd be glad to have you.
Yes.
They'd be lucky to have you, because Microsoft, at this point, these higher-ups don't deserve to have you. They don't deserve. I know how talented some of you are. Please get out. Please.
Get out. Make your own console. Make one that's better, because this is utter crap.
How do you stand there and just destroy a company and you don't see it happening?
Man, they see it happening. They just don't care. They just don't care. They think that they are so big and so bad and that they can offer us so much that we're just going to absolutely, you know, salivate and have to have, that we're going to give in. And you know what? They're right. There are going to be plenty of us who do. Personally, me, at this point, seeing how they're treating everybody and how this guy's talking about it, no. I don't care what game they put it out. I don't want the new Halo.
Oh, y'all done messed up and Ginger don't want Halo.
I know. I don't want the new Halo. F you in the new Halo. I will go play the new Bungie game over on the PS4. Mm. So, yeah.
All right. So there's a whole lot of other stuff going on. We're all still obviously very upset about what's going on with Microsoft. Although Mastrick addressed some concerns, there is, of course, it's not going over well with a lot of people. I'll share some comments with you on that in a moment, but apparently Peter Moore is addressing some issues at EA about the DRM thing,
mm-hmm.
Which none of us like. He said the company has not yet had a discussion about how they're going to approach next-gen DRM, and they consider the online pass system that they created to be a mistake. And see, that's what you're supposed to do, Microsoft. Admit mistake. And when EA is admitting mistakes, it's serious business. Peter Moore is quoted as saying, he says, Sony has announced what they're going to do, which is, you know, business as usual. Then Microsoft is looking at allowing publisher to opt in should they choose to do so. But if we opt in, does Microsoft charge a fee? If so, how much? He says, so we've not even begun to sit down and answer those questions, and that's what he told to Polygon. He says, game sharing has become the hot topic of the conference thanks to Microsoft's attempt to clarify its position last week and Sony's very cheeky sucker punch, love it, which revealed it had no such restrictions. Sony has since admitted it can't stop publishers adding their own measures, like the old online passes for multiplayer, but without Xbox One's mandatory online check-in, options are limited. So they'd have to create literally two different versions of a game. I mean, they do anyway, but we're talking about something that actually is able to work within this. We can block you from use game system, which is a whole lot more work, a whole lot more time, money. During the interview, Moore stated that he liked the used games market and would never fight to see it shut down. He says, EA has never had a conversation, and I have been present at all of them with all of the manufacturers saying that you must put a system in place that allows us to take a piece of the action or even stop it. Absolutely correct. He says, we will figure out what we need to do. I'm not trying to backpedal, but this thing just happened, and we need to reconvene and hear what people think and talk to our retail partners and our first-party partners. We had no idea what Sony was going to announce. We'll reconvene next week and figure it all out. Moore also admitted he considered the online pass system, which EA began removing from its games in May, a mistake. He said, not saying it was an Austin Powers type of Dr. Evil thing. And they said he actually did the pinky thing. He says, we know we can get it back down. We know we can't get it back down the road. No. He said, that was not the meeting I was in on. Online Pass was more trouble to the consumer than it was worth. And that's what we keep trying to express to the lovely people at Microsoft. This is a lot of trouble. And it usually falls upon us, the trouble that happens. Look at SimCity. That I don't know if that was – I don't think that was highly DRM related, but yeah, when you start trying to do things to restrict customers or you're trying to fight piracy, the people who actually pay for the game are the ones who suffer, not the people you're trying to get. Wow, this Matrix thing is out of control around the web. Some of you are pissed off.
Yeah.
Sam Brown, who's a programmer at Cool Games Limited, is saying the average internet he quoted Matrix and said the average internet connection is working the majority of the day. People are imagining that it isn't, but I don't feel that's the world we live in. And he says rubbish, 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 rubbish on down the page. He says, how long do you want me to keep saying rubbish? He says, I live in the middle of Manchester, third largest city in the UK, and my home and office connections are flaky at best. And often this is due to the local scroats setting the switch box on fire. He says other times this is due to particularly dim criminals thinking that the fiber cable is worth the same as scrap metal dealers of copper. Either way, it takes more than a day to fix. I do wish the movers and shakers in this industry would stop thinking we all live on the top of a magnificent tower made of connectivity and ivory.
True. I mean, I live out here. I should take pictures. I live in the flippin' boonies. I have goats. I got a rooster that's running around my yard. Mm-hmm. I live in the middle of nowhere. My neighbors have goats and cows and horses. And my other neighbors may be meth dealers. I'm not quite for certain. seriously, I live in the middle of nowhere. Nowhere. It's great. But my internet connection is shoddy. I mean, hell, y'all seen it. I'm here on air 1 minute. The next, I'm poof. I'm gone. You can't hear me?
I think so. He said, I can't hear what Ginger's saying. I know she's there. Are you there? She's there. We put our hand over her
mouth. Can you hear me? 1, 2, 3. No. All right, you can't hear me.
We cannot hear you, Ginger. What happened?
You can't hear me. I don't know. Hold on. I'm gonna stop and restart the stream. All right. You still can't hear me. You can't. Can you? No, I can hear you.
Aww, poor Ginger.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, people, of course, you can head your little butts over to Blog Talk Radio if you want to hear Ginger, and you can watch Twitch at the same time. See, you can mix and match.
All right. What? Whoa. I think I'm here. Can you hear me now? I'm gonna turn on the sound for just 1 second. Oh my god, I can hear me. Okay, good. I'm here again. Yay!
Hi!
All right.
All right, Ginger, your turn. Got some good news.
Well, maybe not good news, but definitely I've got some juice. I got some juice.
Uh-oh. All
right, so the ESA calls cops on Ouya.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. ESA calls cops on Ouya presence outside of E3. All right, so Game Politics has this story up this morning. That's where I'm grabbing it. Yeah. All right, so the Entertainment Software Association, the ESA, called the LAPD on Ouya's outdoor exhibit. Ouya has been camped out at a parking lot near the LA convention showcasing its console and the games that are available for it. Julie Ehrman, founder of Ouya, told IGN that the police showing up was the latest in an ongoing conflict with the ESA. Ouya had their console on display in a lot across the street from the Los Angeles Convention Center. But at around 9 a.m. this morning, the ESA rented out the spaces in front of Ouya's display and parked semi-trucks in them to block the display from view. Ehrman said that she felt this was an attempt by the ESA to block people from noticing Ouya's presence. To combat this, the OUYA team rented more spots in front of the ESA's trucks and used those spaces to display banners promoting the console's presence. It was after this move that the ESA called the police, according to Ehrman. The LAPD showed up shortly thereafter and asked to see the company's permits. Once everything checked out, though, the police left satisfied. Ehrman tells the IGN that the OUYA is being unfairly targeted because the company is not exhibiting inside the ESA's event. Ehrman promises to continue to exhibit her company's products and plans to do whatever is necessary to stay relevant during E3. If 10 more trucks show up, well, we'll come up with another idea. I have a few up my sleeve. She also says that she has reached out to the ESA to try to resolve the dispute, but has not heard back from the organization. So in other words, the ESA, who's running E3 pretty much right now, is mad that OUYA did not rent a booth inside E3, so they're trying to shut them down outside. Ouch!
Why didn't they buy a booth anyway? They got all this money from us. Why you can't afford a booth?
I know!
They got millions. We're not talking about one or two. We're talking about in the double digits, people, millions. A booth at E3, even a smaller one, around, what, 30,000 or so?
I need to hear more information. Did they not buy a booth, or were they not allowed to buy a booth?
There were empty booths, so I don't think they're not allowed to.
Well, she says this is an ongoing conflict in the ESA. So if the ESA said, hey, no booth for these people, no booth for those people.
Oh, well, you know what? We do need some more information. We need to find out what the thing was. Let me pop over to ESA.
I mean, if the ESA is trying to, you know, what do you call that, blackball them from E3?
Well, but why would they? I mean, would it be in the ESA?
I'm going to have to do some digging and find out why she says that OUYA and the ESA are having an ongoing issue. I need to know this, you know?
Let me see if we can get a contact, or you can contact them if you want, but I'm going to email and find out if we can get a direct quote, find out what's going on, why are you two fighting, because that's some delicious juice that we need to know about. I cannot find the ESA website, that's a sad.
And if they won't comment, well, let's see if OUYA won't comment.
Ooh, yes, you all keep an eye out. We're going to harass some folks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm going to put OUYA's on Twitter just because I want to see if they're going to comment.
All right. Well, since that was another one and you're doing that, can I do another one?
Please do.
All right. Step back, Microsoft and Sony.
Uh-oh. Who's coming through?
Uh-huh. Nintendo says, oh, yeah. How about this? Wii U does not provide publishers the ability to block used games.
Oh, that's a backstab. That's
mm-hmm.
a thief move. A rogue move.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, while PlayStation 4 gamers will not have to worry about online passes for Sony's first-party games, it appears third-party publishers are free to employ used game DRM as they see fit. Similar to PS3, we will not dictate the online used game strategy, the ability to play used games online, of its publishing partners, says Sony. This means that you may have to cough up some extra money if you want to play third-party online. Nintendo gamers, on the other hand, lucky little bastards, don't have to worry about used game restrictions at all. In an interview that they did with Game Trailers, Geoff Keighley, Nintendo of America president Reggie Fils-Aimé, confirmed that Wii U gamers don't have to worry about any of that anti-consumer crap. There's nothing that we're doing proactively from a DRM perspective to go after used game markets. We're not providing the ability to block used games based on DRM, certain games, or having to recharge the consumer for those games. That's not part of our business model. In other words, F both of you. Y'all stand over there and fight. We're going to give the gamers exactly what they want, and we're not going to make a big deal of it. See, I think that's another reason why everybody's like, oh, Nintendo, blah, blah, blah. Nintendo doesn't make a big deal of it. You know, Sony and Microsoft will sit there and stroke their e-peens and have this great big fight in front of the masses. And Nintendo's like, meh, here you go, gamers. This is what you really want. We know you do. And, They go about their business. They just keep on trucking on, you know? They don't stop to really throw in their two cents too much. They do their thing. And that's hot. I love that about Nintendo.
Yeah.
Except that, you know, they could use the publicity.
They do need a little love. Okay, I got a little bit of an update on the Ouya thing, but this is from their perspective. I still don't know why there was a feud going on. Okay, so there's a picture of that I just gave Ginger, if you'll put that up. Ouya's provided a little timeline of what happened. They had created what they call Ouya Park, which is set up across from the LA Convention Center, from, of course, where E3 is taking place, at about 9 a.m. Pacific time yesterday. The ESA tried to block Ouya Park from the vision of people at E3 by putting a tractor trailer in front of the Ouya booth. In order to do this, they had to rent out the space in front of the Ouya booth. So Ouya decided to fight back by renting the space in front of the tractor trailer and putting banners up advertising their booth. ESA then called the LAPD. Ouya showed the police their permits and allowed them to be where they were. And supposedly they gave the police some swag or something like that. We still don't know why this is going on. And I don't know how you were able to rent a booth quick enough. I'm still not sure what's going on. I still don't know why.
I don't know. Like I said,
and that's from the that little bit was from the unofficial Ouya forum. This is not official news. That's a secondhand account from a fan. Wow.
I need to know why they weren't inside.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened. Why did you just not get a booth inside?
I mean, I can see setting up outside if you were not allowed to have a booth. But if you were just setting up outside just to be a little...
Yeah, you're not supposed to... Well, I'm going to say you're not supposed to, but...
I don't know. All right.
My turn. It's still my turn, woman.
It's
your turn. It's your turn.
It's my go. All right. So, petition to pardon the NSA surveillance leaker gains momentum. While America rages over whether former NSA contractor Edward Snowden is a traitor who should be locked up or a hero for revealing the NSA's spying activities, PRISM, and phone data collection, a petition on whitehouse.gov is gaining some momentum. The petition calls on the Obama administration to give Snowden a pardon for his alleged crimes. It should be noted that while lawmakers, pundits, and Washington insiders are calling for Snowden to be charged, the White House and the Justice Department have not made any official move on the matter as of this writing, apparently. So that was, what, yesterday? Yesterday, yes. Edward Snowden is a national hero and should be immediately issued a full, free, and absolute pardon for any crimes he has committed or may have committed related to blowing the whistle on secret NSA surveillance programs. That is coming straight from the petition. The short and simple petition has already managed to garner 52,081 of the 100,000 signatures it needs by July 9th to get a response from the White House. After outing himself to The Guardian in an extensive video interview, Snowden disappeared from the hotel room he was staying at in Hong Kong. Guardian says that he is still somewhere in the city, though his exact whereabouts are unknown. Snowden has no doubt that the United States government will likely seek to charge him and extradite him back to the U.S. Dude, you were hoping that you make it that far.
Yeah, because they're going to try to do away with him. We already know that's going to happen.
Yeah. Keep your head down, dude. Keep your head down.
Don't come out.
On a related note, earlier in the day, 86 organizations, which I told y'all yesterday, sent a letter to Congress asking them to stop the government from spying on America. All right, so you want to get in on this petition? I'm going to tweet this out, so check it out. GINGIRR is my Twitter. Sign it. I'm also going to do it on Facebook.
Make sure you add it at Gamer Girls Radio so I can retweet it with you.
Yes.
I'm just shocked at all this. What world are we living in? We've always been like, oh,
very scary one.
We live in the home of the free and the brave and free speech, and but and we don't spy on, we allow you to do XYZ. I get it. I get that 9/11 was very frightening for us, but we already know the mistakes and gaps and holes that were there that allowed that to happen. Some of it had to do with the airport, and it had nothing to do with stopping people from going to the gates. It has to do with everybody, the chain of command, not people not paying attention, not putting people in a job and then making sure they get paid an absorbent amount of money so that they want to do their job, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, on the way to PAX the last time, I was watching a man sitting across from the gate, and he was snapping pictures of the security gate. And I called over the security at the airport, and they were like, oh, he's probably just taking pictures. And okay, that's not the answer I want to hear. What you should be doing is going over and telling him, what are you doing? We're going to need to talk to you. Why are you taking pictures? There was no reason for him to be doing this at all. And it wasn't like it was a photographer's camera. Maybe he was getting stock shots. He was sitting there, and he looks like he was trying to hide the fact that he was taking the pictures. I just happen to be one of those people who watches everybody, because you're not going to stab me, cut me, drag me off anywhere. I'm going to see you coming long before you get to me. So when he didn't respond, I actually called the FBI from my cell phone standing in the airport and said, look, there is a guy sitting across, you know, I don't know where I was, Nevada or somewhere. I wasn't had yet made it to Seattle. I wasn't in Houston. But I told him, I said, look, there's a guy sitting across from the gate snapping photos, and it's making me very nervous. And they said, well, where are you? And I said, and I told him where I was, and he says, and what does he look like? I described him. Say again?
Sorry.
Not bad.
I got an email saying, you made the dean's list. I was like, oh, cool.
Oh, thanks. But the whole thing was, when you're there at the airport, if they would pay attention, where all this comes from. Instead of spying on people, you need to put proper security measures in place. Stop looking at gamers, because I hate to tell y'all, people on the plane 9/11, not a single one of them played a game, the one that took the plane. Not a one of them. So you're trying to get in and watch us. You're like, have you been hearing this going on for years? The whole little underlying current. Oh, the terrorists are hiding within our kids' games, and that's how they're putting together.
No, they're
schemes.
Not.
No, they're not. They ain't got time to be paying for Xbox Live subscription and playing Call of Duty.
Imagine trying to recruit people in games like that. They'd be trolled.
Oh God, trolled.
Oh, it'd be so bad. Oh, it'd be so bad.
Like, stop it. Stop making up stuff. All right.
It would be horrible.
It would be. So, of course, I got a ton of screenshots and videos and things I got to put up on the site. Just E3. They don't have anything with them but screenshots. But I'm going to. All right. Some new things that have come out. I'm looking like a buffet of news. Like, man, which one of these do I talk about? Because, ooh, it's all good. We'll talk about Miyamoto, because I thought that was interesting. Miyamoto, Shigeru Miyamoto, is blaming the Wii U launch on software delays, on why Nintendo hasn't done so well with the next-gen leap. The Wii U launch with new Super Mario Brothers and a mini-game collection, Nintendo Land, but other launch window titles such as Pikmin 3, Game & Wario, and The Wonderful 101 have yet to arrive. And it's especially surprising that Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword was their only blockbuster release in the last 2 years of that console's life. And Miyamoto said, he told Games Industry International that anytime you have a big jump in the hardware technology, it certainly takes the team's time to learn and adjust their development in environment in order to adapt to those changes. One answer to that would simply be hiring more staff. He explained, this is not a straightforward solution as it sounded. He says, if you speak in terms of simple math, you could say that Nintendo should just multiply its development team staff by 4 times and then everything would be fine. But it's not quite that easy. He says, our focus is always on delivering the highest quality content, and simply increasing the development team size is not going to allow you to achieve that level of quality that we strive for. You really have to kind of bring those people up gradually and help teach them how to develop games in order to achieve that consistent quality level. The 3DS also suffered from a lack of hit first-party games soon after launch. It led to the console's early price drop and promise of a 3D Mario and a Mario Kart in the following Christmas. For Wii U, its price has already been discounted at some UK retailers by as much as £100. Haha, I know what that is now. it only took us 4 years, right? As a 3D Mario is due out this December, Mario Kart 8, however, won't arrive until next spring. Miyamoto did say that the parallels were just merely coincidental. He says that the hardware jump from DS to 3DS was quite big in terms of difference of how those two platforms behave, and it just so happens that the same scale of jump handed happened from Wii to Wii U consecutively with those two pieces of hardware, he concluded. Now, that being said, to the person who is probably going, haha, that's what I was telling you, if you can't accept that, you can accept that from Nintendo, you can accept it from Microsoft. You know why I accept it from Nintendo and not Microsoft? Because all they did was give me a new console. The developers are a little afraid to touch it. Fine. Microsoft is asking for me to give them my second born.
Mm-hmm.
They want to watch me while I create my second born. They want me to pay extra for my used game. I already paid $40 for it. Now they want another $60. You know, this is where I'm having the problem. It's not the console itself. It's stop trying to gouge me. Stop trying to gouge me. Stop trying to gouge me. Stop it. The game is already... Yeah. And I will give Nintendo a little another dig of credit. Ginger was saying, you know, when he's talking about the quality of their games, I want you guys out there, challenge for you. Find me a Nintendo game that, not the console, a Nintendo game release day that was buggy.
Yeah. I don't know.
I can't think of it. I don't recall hearing story, you know, oh, Mario Kart was messed up.
No.
I do know.
I'm trying to think, but no. I don't think I've ever heard.
This is why they keep their stuff locked to their console. I understand some of that's why they won't let Mario go. I mean, it may be financially beneficial to them probably to let Mario show up on an iPad somewhere, but this is why, because that's exactly what he said. We have a certain standard we maintain. I get it. But I can't think of one Nintendo game that was buggy release date where they had to, like, just, we're so sorry. We owe you an apology. We got to give you a free game because we did it.
Yeah.
See, you're racking your brain like, that.
I am. I'm like, has there been? I mean, I've played some bad Nintendo games, but it was mainly because it wasn't so much bad as it was bad translation.
Yeah, bad translation.
Bad translations. Like, I got one that was supposed to be like, you could do different jobs, and it was from Japan or something like that, and the translations were not at all correct. All right, so. Sheep Shack. Sheep Shack. You know you want to shack up with some sheep, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Okay, so. Let me get this up and big for you so you can see it. Thumber is pleased to announce that their latest action puzzle game, Sheep Shack, is now available.
Why?
In the Apple App Store. Sheep Shack has been developed by Brightside Games and published by mobile social gaming platform Thumber. Never heard of before. Fresh on the App Store is Thumber's latest action puzzle game, Sheep Shack. Sheep Shack combines the styles of Whack-A-Mole and Fruit Ninja, resulting in a new style of gameplay for all ages. That looks kind of cute, actually. Your new adorable sheep friends need your help. Feed them, shear them, and kill the angry wolves. Why are the wolves going to be angry?
Because wolves are angry creatures.
Yeah, I guess. Racing against the clock, players will be presented with a 3D shack where the sheep are kept. Swipe the shack vertically and horizontally to discover where all the sheep are hiding. Tap to feed them, and if they are happy, their box will turn red, prompting gamers to swipe the shack vertically to let the sheep jump out. Shear the sheep by swiping across them as they leave the shack. Swipe the big sheep twice. They have more wool. Yay! Players must calculate their responsibilities carefully with Sheep Shack's addicting puzzle element. Swipe, feed, release, and shear in a specific order to create combos and earn max points. Enjoy 15 levels with 2 game modes in the free trial. There's an upgrade for the premium version that's also ad-free. That's $1.99, 45 additional levels, 3 game modes, and over 25 unlockable features. Unlockable features include having advanced tap and swipe functions, additional characters, and bonus effects. All right, so that is Sheep Shack, and it is for the iOS. I do not see anything about the Android, so I won't be playing this, sadly. It kind of looks cute.
Droid. All right, there's some blinding... Yeah, stuff going on. I'm trying to grab a video because I you have to see this.
Blinding, you say? Blinding.
Some blinding things going on with Apple. I'm not sure what to do. I can't see this stuff. I'm still looking for it. Okay, so for those of you, actually, I got video for you, Ginger. Okay, Apple quietly released their latest operating system, iOS 7, just this past Monday. Of course, we're all eyes on E3, so we're not really paying much attention, but it's becoming a joke because people are wondering, not just because of when it was released, but people are like, what the hell is this? Why is it so bright? This looks like it was designed by a child that escaped from the 80s. I'm going to need y'all not to do stuff like this. Sir. Just keep an eye on the video there.
What is this? Is this a new phone?
This is a new Apple iOS 7. Critics are split on whether, and it's designed by Joni Ives. They said it's a step forward, really colorful retouch. And some of them are saying it actually hinders the future of the design. So it was a matter of time. If you go over to Tumblr, you can see some of these images. I'm trying to see if I can grab the Tumblr images. These are probably going to be better than the video, actually. Ooh, this is bright. Wow, Apple. Wow.
It's very white.
Check out those. Put those screenshots up. Tumblr, why? Apple, why are you so bright? Logos for Google, Instagram, Facebook, Evernote, Adobe Create Cloud, and more get very shiny makeovers with a lot of color. Even Evernote, it looks like the 70s in an acid trip. Evernote actually has a unicorn, a pretty pink and blue unicorn. you also, the Apple... the original Apple logo is kind of making a return, you know, with the Apple with the multicolors. Those of you remember way back when Apple first started. Ginger, are you looking at that? Are your eyes hurt? Look at the Evernote with the pretty unicorn. That's a lovely unicorn.
Wait a minute. I'm calling shenanigans. That's an Android symbol.
Yes, it is. Well, that's somebody that made that on Tumblr, I think. I hope it is. I don't know. I think a lot of iPhone people are going to be going blind this week. Can y'all not do that? Apparently he has another one that's just black and white.
Oh, you did not go messing with the dark side of the moon from Pink Floyd. No!
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He went there.
That'll get you stabbed.
Joni, you're very cute. You kind of got a Jason Statham thing going on. But don't do this. Just don't. Don't do it. Now... I'm really concerned. Does that not make your eyes hurt?
It makes me want to stab this dude.
I don't know. I don't understand why he felt the need to redesign.
I think this is more of an LOL joke thing. I can't imagine this is serious business.
Well, some of those are jokes.
Yeah, seriously, this one with Nicki Minaj, I feel like that was his inspiration behind everything.
But the Instagram logo, the new Facebook logo, if you scroll down, the Pinterest one. Yeah, and I'm going to need him not to.
Mm-mm, not cute. Not cute.
I'm going to need him not to do that.
His eyes are lopsided. They're not symmetrical. One is significantly higher than the other. All right, so that's crazy. Okay. Yes, no, yes, yes, we are. Thank you. Thank you for noticing. All right, so it's my go. For those of you who have not tried Rift, apparently now is the time to do it. The age of free-to-play has dawned on Rift. Guess what I'm downloading later? the award-winning MMORPG from Trion Worlds is now entirely free to play with no trials, no tricks, and no traps. I will be the judge of that, thank you very much, because I swear to God, if you only let me have one bag, I'm calling shenanigans. Players around the world can build their perfect class, engage titanic bosses and massive dynamic battles, achieve greatness through epic dungeons and raids, and so much more, all without a subscription. The new era of truly free-to-play gaming has dawned on Talara. The aim is
I'll play.
Yeah. The aim is to keep free and paid players on the same level. This is not pay to win.
Players will see key differences between Rift and other MMOs that have adopted free-to-play. We don't restrict content, and we don't offer pay-to-win items. There are no restrictions on levels or content for registered players. Where's the catch, dude? There's got to be a catch. The entire world is open to explore and conquer. The expanded in-game Rift store offers thousands of items and services, from faction changes to mounts, pets, boosts, and much more. But the best gear must be earned in-game. For those looking for the ultimate Rift experience, a subscription is available that offers a suit of awesome patron benefits. What are those benefits? I need to know.
Cookies? Juice? Okay.
Yeah. There's got to be something. There's got to be something that these people are paying for that we're not going to get. And like I said, I mean, if it's like EverQuest 2 where the free-to-play is, oh, sure, you can free-to-play.
Up to level 10.
You only get two bags.
Look, only
two bags. You may not get into all the zones you want to go, and, oh, the classes are restricted. Yeah.
Well,
and, oh, what do you want to bet we don't get a home? I want a home, but we don't get a home.
Well, if they do a pay-and-play model, you know what I mean? Then you may be able to get a home and then keep it, you know. I would do that. They say it was like $2, you know, and I can have some furniture. I'd do that. You know, the people that made Candy Crush Saga, King.com, are all kinds of impressive. They're doing it right. If you haven't played Candy Crush Saga and you don't want to be addicted, I advise you to stay away. And it is not like Bejeweled. I know you look at it, you see Bejeweled. Trust me, it is not like Bejeweled. Baby Natrix was saying the same thing, and then when she started playing it, now she's addicted. As a matter of fact, I think she may be playing it right now. So the developers, though, are doing everything right. They dropped all of their in-game advertising from their products. Mm-hmm. According to email sent to their advertising partner from an Inside Mobile app got a hold of it, the Candy Crush Saga developer is turning away from traditional advertising in mobile games, which often intrudes on the experience of playing. I concur. King's number one focus around developing an uninterrupted entertainment experience for our network of loyal players across the web, tablet, mobile, and mobile has unfortunately led to the difficult decision of removing advertising as a core element of King's overall strategy. He said the executive team has decided to withdraw completely from the advertising business, thus removing all advertising elements within every King game worldwide, effective immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why my Candy Crush was updated this morning. I was wondering what was going on. Okay, so further details on the decisions have not been made available, but King's success in making money from in-app purchases is well documented. It seems that the company has deemed the revenue from intrusive ads less valuable than the satisfaction of its players, and we appreciate that, King.com. I love me some Candy Crush Saga, and I can tell you their in-app purchases are just cheap enough sometimes where I contemplate, I'm like, I can afford to buy one of them little clickety teeth to eat at the candy. That's 49 cents. I could do that. I got 49.
That's true.
That's how they get
it. And you kind of almost need that on some of those ones, too.
Okay, I'm mad at my cousin who, last night while we were doing the show, by the way, I'm looking at the feed in the Facebook, and that trick is on level 122. How much Candy Crush Saga are you playing over there in Aussie land? What are you doing?
I think I had to like 60-something, and I was like...
Yeah, you're on 59. I'm catching up to you.
Yeah, I had to step back. I had to step back. All right, so I'm going to do two really quick. Xbox One launched in Asia. Yeah, y'all want to know when that is?
We told you yesterday.
Well, we knew it was going to be region locked, but now we know it's going to be an entire year.
No, I told you we did that yesterday.
Did we? I don't remember that one. All right, there's so much news.
Oh, or either we talked about it last night. I can't remember. We've been on like a news.
So much news. All right, so. Well, since we did that one, let me get this video up for you, because I kind of want to read this because I'm in need of some new headsets. Thrustmaster. Thrustmaster wireless gaming headsets get skilled. Oh yeah. Experience our powerful and expanding range of products. After an entry into the gaming headsets market, Thrustmaster is now expanding this range by offering two supercharged and super equipped devices. Thrustmaster is proud to be releasing the wireless versions of the first milestone headsets. Oh, good lord. Good. Can't talk. All right, so two new headsets, the Y400PW for PlayStation 3 and the Y400XW for Xbox 360. Oh, F you. Where's my PC? Anyways, in addition to rechargeable lithium polymer battery offering 10 hours of battery life, Thrustmaster has always focused on gamers and providing them the ability to maximize their gameplay. With this ethos in mind, the headsets in the Y400 range will be supplied with cable, enabling users to continue playing while charging their headsets. That's hot. With wireless technology and cutting-edge audio, the Y400 series offers the same remarkable signature sound as its predecessors. 50mm drivers ensure optimum and unrivaled audio. This feature, combined with wired ear pads, will ensure exceptional noise insulation and immerse any level gamer into a highly immersive audio environment. To allow for precise and real-time audio adjustment for different gaming environments, Thrustmaster has also included a unique set of controls. These high-quality controls will provide subtle changes within the audio experience provided by the Y400 series, enabling users to fine-tune the audio and microphone settings within their gaming environment. They will be fully wireless on the PlayStation 3 version, which is a phenomenal development for the series. Yay! Okay, so I thought that was going to be cooler than it was, but hey, new headset. Some of y'all are console fans. I need me a PC set that is not utter and complete crap. So, yeah.
My ginger holds it down, don't you? All right, I'm looking at tons. Why do you all... Tons of stuff. Why? Righteous Kill. Did we talk about that one? I don't really want to talk about Righteous Kill. But I suppose I better. Nah, we'll talk about Zombie Driver because that's what I want to talk about. Zombie Driver. I got some video for it and everything. Wait just a minute. I'm going to give you a video. Just a minute.
Wait, what?
Zombie Driver.
Yeah, you go back. Sorry. I came across a story that was like, what?
Okay, so Zombie Driver HD, Apocalypse Pack. An update has been released on XBLA. Have you not played this game?
I have not played that game.
Well, you don't do Xbox Live anymore, so. But the new update.
No, I don't.
If you do
Microsoft.
If you do play it, the new update fixes some screen tearing issues that some people have been experiencing. It improves frame rate, which makes squashing zombies super smooth now. Smash them up.
Zombie squash.
Right. The patch also fixes a number of smaller issues. The Apocalypse Pack includes two awesome cars available in all game modes, plus an extra slaughter mode.
You're just running over zombies left and right.
That's kind of hot. They also have a military base. Both of the new cars are guest appearances from XOR Studios' earlier project DIPRIP, which was a multiplayer car combat game released in 2008 as a free source engine mod. The first of the two is called the Chaos 126P, and it's a small and nimble monster truck, as far as monster trucks can be small anyway. It's very fast, handles incredibly well in tight corners. The second one is a huge custom-made truck with a jet engine exhaust called the Auroch. I like that name. It can ram through anything on its path. Has lots of nitro and can carry up to 10 passengers in the story mode. 10 people on the back just hanging off, mashing up zombies. That's what I'm talking
about.
The military base slaughter mode map. Right. The military base slaughter mode map is one of the larger levels. As the name implies, it is based in an abandoned army depot. If slaughter mode was about ice skating, one could say that it's the perfect place for making beautiful loops in harmony with soul-touching music. But fortunately, it's not. So you can exchange loops for insanely long combos, soul-touching music for the sound of metal plowing through hundreds of zombies. If you're not familiar with the game, it's an insane mix of cars, speed, explosion, blood, and, of course, zombies. You can fight through an epic narrative campaign or test yourself in slaughter and blood race modes, engage huge bosses, save survivors, drive crazy vehicles such as a bulldozer, fire truck, or even a tank, and smash everything in your way. Take part in the blood race tournament, chase other cars, and take them down without mercy on brutal racing tracks. Jump into the slaughter mode and survive as long as possible on specially crafted arenas. That sounds like a game me and Jay would enjoy because that's how we play GTA anyway. But anyway, you can pick this up on the XBLA if you can find it, or you can go over to zombiedriver.com to get some more information about them. I cannot believe this one escaped us. I would love to have shown you the website, but they got it all locked down for the age groups.
How dare y'all lock it down?
Well, they got it. You know, some of you are a little too young to be looking at zombies mashed.
I guess. All right, so I got to talk about this really quick. Late Night with Jimmy Fallon to host Video Game Week June 17th through the 21st. NBC's
Why?
Late Night. I don't know. NBC's Late Night with Jimmy Fallon will host its fourth annual Video Game Week. June 17th through the 21st, the week-long event will likely feature a lot of the games being shown at E3 this week, along with Fallon's signature comedy sketches and special music guests and performances. Music guests to appear during the week also have ties to the video gaming world. On Monday, Anna Managuchi will be taking the stage for their first live in-studio performance on American CD. The band is well-known for being at the forefront of the chiptune scene. Traverses will appear on Wednesday night to perform the single Mother We Share from their upcoming fall debut album. The group will have several songs and video games this year, including FIFA 14. Lastly, Zed and the special guest Foxes will have a video game themed set on Friday performing Clarity with the Roots, which will transition into Zed's famed remix of the Legend of Zelda theme song.
It's the only thing I want
to
see.
Yeah. Games scheduled to appear on the show include Forza Motorsport 5 for Xbox One, Knack on the PlayStation 4, June 18th, Ubisoft's Watch Dogs on June 19th.
Okay, I'm watching
Activision's Call of Duty on the 21st, Nintendo's Game and Wario and Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U for June 21st. And finally, Fallon is asking fans to submit a video of themselves and their moms going head-to-head in a gaming session.
They're
moms. The videos can be uploaded to YouTube with the title Gaming with My Mom, and Late Night will select the best moments to premiere on the show the week of June 17th. I don't know what I think about this.
I think we still have some guy that put this together, Gaming with Your Mom. Do you really still think that moms don't game? What's going on with these people? Why is there a kid trying to put together gaming event type things and they just don't get it right?
I don't know. And is Jimmy Fallon a gamer?
I don't think he is. I've never heard him.
I feel more like they're making fun of games than actually celebrating games.
Yeah, that's what I feel like, a video gaming with your mom. Why?
So, Jimmy Fallon, right now, all I see is a great big bullseye on your forehead. Come join me in some shooter game.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for us to get out of here. I'm still like, huh?
Yeah, I kind of broke our happy. I'm sorry.
I don't understand them. Jimmy, I do like you. Stay in your lane. Didn't I just say that last night? Stay in your lane, dude. You don't see us trying to come and do comedy on your own stage. Stay in your lane.
We would do it better anyways.
I would, if you have to have some TV-type personalities, look at all the ones you got. You got your Aisha Tyler. You got Felicia Day. You got Exhibit. You got Vin Diesel. Why didn't you get some of them to come by the show? They're actual gamers. We need some gamers on the show. They have a song in a game. I don't care if they have a game in the song that plays during the credits. That being said, we're about to get out of here. Speaking of games and credits, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
We're out of here.
From Left 4 Dead.
I've been working on a cocktail called Grimes for Divorce. And the rest you can keep.